Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about on Let's Face the Issues broadcast today. We're talking about the headline news. We're talking about how God's Word is leaping off the pages in headline news today. We're talking about the subject, war with Iran. Is it possible? Are we at war with Iran? Will we go to war with Iran? What does the Bible say in relationship to that? And how should we respond to it? What's being said on a global basis? What is taking place today? And what shall take place in the future as a result of this? Ladies and gentlemen, we must sit up and take notice as we witness what I see as biblical prophecy being fulfilled. The socialist Marxist Democrats, and they, of course, are blaming President Donald J. Trump for killing Soleimani. I believe that just as we have seen and continue to witness what President Donald Trump has done and is doing, all points to the sovereign hand of Holy God. I believe that God placed him there in office, and I believe that God has kept him there, although he has been under attack constantly since he became the nominee before he was ever sworn in as president. He's been under constant attack from the socialist Marxist Democrats. But I am so thankful, ladies and gentlemen, that we have seen through this president, Donald J. Trump, a close stand with the apple of God's eye, the nation of Israel, the Jewish people. In fact, it's Benjamin Netanyahu that praises President Donald Trump for taking the stand that he's taken. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, that says, Netanyahu offers Trump high praise for taking out an Iranian general who terrorized the entire region for decades. Let me just read you a blurb or two from this article. It's about a three-page article. It's not massive, but I just want you to get the flavor of what is being said by Benjamin Netanyahu and why I believe that what the prime minister of Israel is saying is going to be one of the promulgating, instigating facts for the nation of Iran to use their anger, to take out their anger and their hostility on America, and they will do so. I believe, this is my opinion, I believe that the first attack, the first thing that we see that comes to the surface for them retaliating will be some retaliation against the nation of Israel because of our stand with the nation of Israel. Title of this article, Netanyahu offered Trump high praise for taking out an Iranian general who terrorized the region for decades. On Sunday, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu commented that President Donald J. Trump is worth, quote, worthy of all appreciation, end quote, for ordering the killing of Iranian General Soleimani. At a cabinet meeting on Sunday, Netanyahu noted that Soleimani initiated, planned, and carried out many other attacks in the Middle East and beyond. For decades, Soleimani remained the mastermind of Iran's belligerence in the region, supporting terror groups that threatened Israel, Syria, Lebanon, and Yemen. Netanyahu said, by the way, let me just do a little footnote on that. This man, the general Soleimani, the terrorist, the leader of terrorism on a global basis, mastermind of it for about 20 plus years, operating under the banner of Iran. He's responsible for killing millions upon millions of Iranians, Islamics on a global basis. He's responsible for much of the terrorism that we've seen and witnessed in the past 20 years on a global basis. But this article goes on to say, for decades, Soleimani remained the mastermind of Iran's belligerence in the region, supporting terror groups that threaten Israel, Syria, Lebanon, and Yemen. Netanyahu said Israel stood alongside the United States in its current campaign against Iran. Netanyahu has been among the strongest voices against Iran's Islamic rulers in recent years. The Israeli leader pushed hard against the nuclear deal Western powers signed with Tehran in 2015, which Trump later reversed. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm thankful that President Donald J. Trump pulled America out of the so-called nuclear pact, the nuclear deal that Obama had signed and had given $160 billion to Iran to incentivize them to sign the pact. They never stopped producing nuclear fusion material. They never stopped working on their goal of a nuclear device that could destroy the world. But their whole goal was to get that in hand so that they could hold power and authority over America and over Israel in particular. But ladies and gentlemen, this article says, in recent years, Israel has presented the world proof that the Iranian regime is pursuing nuclear weapons, including massive trove of documents that Israeli spies spirited out of the heart of Tehran. The United States killed Soleimani in a drone airstrike at Baghdad's international airport early Friday. The Iranian commander was the architect of Tehran's proxy wars all over the Middle East, this article says. And ladies and gentlemen, I commend our president for taking him out, contrary to what Pelosi is saying, and Schumer and Adam Schiff and AOC and other voices from the socialist, Marxist, leftist Democrats, what they're saying, they're blaming President Trump, claiming that he is orchestrating and bringing about World War III. Is it possible, ladies and gentlemen, that is the case? Is it possible that somehow, some way, our president is working against America and wanting to destroy America? May I simply interject and say, absolutely not. That's not the goal at all. But because he is a president that's taken a stand for the sovereignty of the United States of America, he's taken a stand for our military, he's taken a stand for our borders being secured, he's taken a stand for religious liberties, President Trump has taken a stand with the nation of Israel as no other president has taken. And so, ladies and gentlemen, it's gotten the ire up of those jihadist nations around the globe, and particularly as found in the Middle East, and more particularly as found in Iran, and its desire to destroy the apple of God's eye, the nation of Israel. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm thankful to see Benjamin Netanyahu take a public stand and praise Donald Trump. Soleimani was the key Iranian general that headed up and orchestrated the terror attacks and bloodshed in Lebanon, Syria, Yemen, Kuwait, and all over Europe, and killing Americans and others any place that they could find them, ladies and gentlemen. Retired General Petraeus says, Soleimani's death is more significant than bin Laden's death. Let me just read you the article on that, ladies and gentlemen. General Petraeus said Soleimani's death more significant than bin Laden's. Retired Army General David Petraeus, a former commander of the U.S. forces in Iraq and Afghanistan and former CIA director, spoke with Foreign Policy this week about the implications of the U.S. airstrikes that killed Iranian's Quds Force commander Soleimani, calling it more significant than the killing of Osama bin Laden. Soleimani and his Quds Force were responsible for the death of hundreds of Americans and coalition service members and the wounding of thousands more, according to the Department of Defense. Ladies and gentlemen, let me pause in the reading of some blurbs from this article. We've seen our military men come back with many of them with one or two arms or a leg and an arm or an eye or half the face missing. And we are so thankful that they survived and came back. But that's as a result of the IEDs that were developed and planted and orchestrated by Soleimani that would maim and destroy and take lives of our military men as they were going into the arenas of battle. And it's marvelous thing that we've been able to take him out. And here's General Petraeus that is saying that his death, the death of this jihadist terrorist general, Soleimani, that his death is more important to America and the globe than the death of Osama bin Laden. This article goes further. Soleimani and the other person that was his deputy of Iran, backed militants known as the Popular Mobilization Forces, were killed along with eight others in the drone strike at Baghdad's international airport. Quote, this is coming from General Petraeus. It is impossible to overstate the importance of this particular action. It is more significant than the killing of Osama bin Laden or even the death of Islamic State leader al-Baqarah Baghdadi, Petraeus said, told Foreign Policy in a Friday interview. Soleimani was the architect and the operational commander of Iranian forces and efforts to solidify control of the so-called Shia Crescent, stretching from Iran to Iraq through Syria into southern Lebanon. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that is clearly stated as to what is the goal and the ultimate agenda of the jihadists in Iran. And the key jihadist leader out of Iran was this General Soleimani. And here is this retired U.S. general that's making the statement that I've been trying to say in so many different ways during the course of this broadcast. He goes on to say, the breach of the embassy followed airstrikes on Sunday that killed 25 fighters of the Iranian-backed militia in Iraq, known as Hezbollah. The U.S. military said the strikes were a retaliation for last week's killing of an American contractor in a rocket attack on the Iraqi military base that the U.S. blamed on the militia. Petraeus echoed the Department of Defense in affirming that Soleimani's strike was a defensive response. And further, the question is asked, do you think that an all-out war with Iran is possible? And in the article, he says, Iran is in a very precarious economic position. It is very fragile domestically. They've killed many, many hundreds, if not thousands, of Iranian citizens who are demonstrating on the streets in Iran in response to the dismal economic situation and mismanagement and corruption, according to Petraeus. I just don't see that Iranians as anywhere near as supportive of the regime at this point that they could were as they were decades ago during Iraq war, the Iraqi and Iranian war. He added that the U.S. has taken very, very significant action, but did not declare war against Iran. Ladies and gentlemen, let me invite you to participate in this dialogue and discussion. I believe we have a caller on the phone. Go over the question and the comment, please.
I'm amazed at folks like Joe Biden and his statement concerning this taking out of Soleimani and his top henchman there, and Biden's statement about throwing a stick of dynamite into a tinder box or something along that line. Is he out of his mind? Does he not understand that we have a 1,400-year record of Islamic violence around the world, and particularly against Christians, particularly against the United States, particularly against Israel? Does he not understand that no matter what these folks' response, the Iranians' response to this taking out of Soleimani, no matter what that response is, it would probably be something that will have taken place anyway? These folks are steadily, actively engaged on a day-by-day-by-day basis in acts of terrorism. They're the number one state sponsor of terrorism. When Obama dropped pallets of cash on these folks, those mullahs over there used that cash to sponsor the terrorism that we see taking place. The attack on the embassy that was planned by, orchestrated by Soleimani and his henchmen, that was an attack on U.S. sovereign soil. Do folks like Biden not understand that? And by the way, apparently Biden was okay with dropping all those pallets of cash on Iran. I guess he was okay with swapping terrorists for a traitor, you know, the four or five terrorists that we gave to Iran in exchange for Bobert, was it Iran? In any case, he's okay with trading terrorists for traitors. But he's not okay with defending this country. Now, if we had waited a week or two or three and Soleimani was able to pull off another attack and take out another 120 or another 300, those are the numbers being bandied about based on the targets he was selecting, would these same individuals not say that Trump was derelict in his obligations to defend this country? It is absurd. And even as you step back into history, and you're covering Hezbollah, as Iran is the number one state sponsor of terrorism, the money flows are to organizations like Hezbollah. The tactical support and aid are to organizations like Hezbollah. You go back to the embassy attack and the Marine barracks attack that took place in Beirut, Lebanon, costing 241 American lives in the one instance and 17 at the embassy. When you strike an embassy, you're literally trying to strike the highest political target in a nation, because that ambassador sitting in that embassy is the representative, the chief representative of the United States within that country. This fellow, Soleimani, was operating outside his country, conducting terrorist activity against U.S. Interest. The notion that we should not have taken him out is completely absurd.
I think that the surgical attack and the surgical approach that we used was very, very well placed for our president. He didn't want to take out lives of dozens or hundreds of others, but just the target. But, Greg, we're talking about the question that begs to be asked and answered that's being bounded about now by the socialist Marxist Democrats in Washington, that President Trump is striking the match for World War III. And if I can take a moment and just address that, my answer is no. We're not going to see World War III. We might see the end result of what shall be in Ezekiel 38 and 39, Russia jumping into the fray, and Russia, by the way, the Russian thumbprints all over everything in the Middle East. Every aggressive act against America and against Israel, Russia's thumbprint is on it. Russia's finances generally are behind it. We find that the Bible talks about the wars and rumors of wars in the last days, and I believe we're seeing the wars and the rumblings of wars. The word rumors means rumblings, the rumblings of wars taking place, and I believe that we're seeing the stage being set for the ultimate battle, not the final ultimate cataclysmic event known as the Battle of Armageddon, but the ultimate battle that you find in Ezekiel 38 and 39. And it's a fascinating study when you look at Ezekiel 38 and 39, what the Word of God says in relationship to what is taking place and who is responsible. God takes responsibility for it. If I can take a moment, Greg, before we finish with some other discussion, and in Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 15, and thou shalt come from the place from out of the north parts, and many people with thee, all of them riding upon horses, etc., etc. And then he says in verse 16, and I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know that when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, before their eyes. God says that Israel is my land. And further then in chapter 39, God's word talks about, then shall they know that I am the Lord. Verse 2 says, I will turn thee back and leave thee but a sixth part. I will bring thee upon the mountains of Israel. Verse 4, I will smite thy bow out of thy left hand, etc., etc. And it goes on in verse 6, and I will send fire upon Magog, and I am the Lord. I will make my holy name known in the midst of thee. I will not let them pollute my holy name. I am the Lord and the Holy One of Israel. I have spoken it, and I shall bring it about. Greg, it excites me when I look at that and see God taking control and saying that I'm in control. It's me that's doing this. And so when I see this happening, it's not just the acts of man, but you'd have AOC and others say that it's the monster, the president that we have. In fact, here's an article, Greg, and you can respond to it. AOC attacks monster President Trump, accuses him of war crimes over threats of Iranian aggression. Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez on Saturday called President Donald Trump a monster and accused him of threatening to engage in war crimes for promising to hit Iran with military power if they retaliate over the death of Soleimani. Quote, this is a war crime, she said, threatening to target and kill innocent families, women, and children, which is what you're doing by targeting cultural sites. This does not make you a tough guy, Ocasio-Cortez tweeted. It does make you strategic. It makes you a monster, end quote. Then you got Ilhan Omar that jumps into the fray, that accuses the president of being allies with the enemy rather than protecting America. And then Ocasio-Cortez says, a moral and legal obligation to prevent war, like with Iran. She, like many other of the president's Democratic political opponents, has voiced opposition to further escalation with Iran. What do you say about statements made by, I would call them, benevolently speaking, airheads, and statements they're making in relationship to President Trump? How do you respond? What is the statement?
I really think that these folks on the left got really accustomed to an ally in the White House for Islamists around the world. They got really accustomed to Obama bowing to all of these oh my goodness, 10-horn dictators around the world. They got used to him sending money and sending aid and sending comfort to the enemy. Of course, he was aided there in the White House. His chief assistant there was Valerie Jarrett, and her ties went right back to Iran. The yes. Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, was aided. Her chief aide was Uma Abedin, with ties right back to Iran. Do these folks? I mean, I kind of understand the left a little better, because if you for 8 years see an individual that literally perverts everything that would be defensive of America and makes it into some kind of an outreach program, I mean, that the moron in chief that spent 8 years in the White House turned the primary objective of NASA into an Islamic outreach kind of program. And you go, what in the world? So space exploration, scientific exploration is somehow or another now an outreach program?
where in the world did that come from, other than his Islamic roots, I believe.
That's right.
But if you're AOC or Ilhan Omar or Rashidi Tlaib, you probably look at this guy as a complete radical nutcase, because he is all about, based on everything I'm seeing, it's an America First agenda. It's defense of America. And this particular thing, now see, a couple months back when Iran took out our $500 million drone, Trump had the opportunity to hit targets in response, and he chose not to, because it was going to take out, it was going to take human life. Now, in kind of a corollary with that, you have the issue with the embassy, and human life was lost, and more human life would have been lost.
Benghazi
under Obama was complete chaos. 13 hours of waiting for help that never really came, and 4 folks died, including the ambassador. And Trump made sure that that did not happen. From what I understand, 13 minutes. The assault, there was wheels up. We had 100 Marines on the way, 19 helicopters on the way in response to the attack on the embassy in Iraq. And you follow up, life was lost in the intervening time period. He's been characterized several times to several different ways, but American life was lost, and plans were made for between 130 and 300 being targeted by Soleimani. And this objective was clear. This guy is the head of the snake that's operating out of country as a terrorist. He's been declared a terrorist. His organization's been declared a terrorist organization. To tag him and have no collateral damage, that was the cleanest hit. And like Petraeus has said, this may very well set up an appropriate deterrent for further Iranian aggression. This is the first time Iranians have seen a real pushback in more than a dozen years. So, they may not know how to deal with this. But I have news for you. If Trump is serious and there will be repercussions for any activity further, they may very well think twice. We're not bowing. We're not bending. We're actually responding. That should have been taking place from the get-go. That should have been taking place during the Obama years. But Obama saw fit to support and aid these folks by sending the pallets of cash to them. All the while, those pallets of cash, people, I keep hearing, well, that was Iranian money. There were hundreds of claims, U.S. domestic legal claims against the monies in Iran based on the lives lost, based on Iranian-funded, sponsored terrorism. Over 600 military lives have been lost due to IED attacks, as well as potentially hundreds and hundreds and hundreds more that have been permanently maimed because of the activities of Soleimani. If you grieve over Soleimani, you are not my friend. You are not America's friend.
You're not an American. It's un-American to do that. You talked about Trump and his hard stand and his firm stand, I should say. Here's an article that says, Trump to Iran. This is a tweet, and I like this. He said, we just spent $2 trillion on military equipment. Hit one American, and we'll send it all to you in your way.
Oh, my goodness.
He says, the United States has spent $2 trillion on military equipment. We are the biggest and by far the best in the world. If Iran attacks an American base or any American anywhere, we will be sending some of that brand-new, beautiful equipment your way and without any hesitation, according to his tweet on Sunday. But Greg, here's an article.
Is that not a beautiful deterrent? Is that not a beautiful deterrent? These folks have not seen this sort of reaction since 1988. They were steadily, you know, sowing mines in the Gulf, and finally they got a response. And in the course of, I think it was 2 or 3 hours, we sank more than half of their Navy, all right? We literally sent them a message, stop it. Cut it out.
Yes.
And now
yes.
They're getting the message again. It's, you know, 30 years later, they're getting the message again, stop it. Cut it out.
Yes, I understand that, and I think we all understand that. One of the things that Greg, that I want us to kind of wrap up on today is here's an article, and I've touched on that 2 or 3 times during the course of the preliminary portion and the major monologue and parts of the dialogue and discussion in this broadcast. The question begs to be asked and answered, as some are saying, will this be the fuse that is lit for the World War III on a global basis? Here's a theological writer that says, an article in the Jerusalem Post is warning the Middle East to brace itself. We ask just how likely it is of killing Soleimani will spark World War III. Then the subtitle of this article says, the Bible accurately tells us that World War III will take place in the Middle East. that it will involve Muslims. It will be focused on Israel and the rest of the nation. Well, they are counted as a drop of the bucket in God's sight. And then further in the article says, the Jerusalem Post is warning the Jews in the Middle East to brace themselves as they feel the major war is about to break out. Now, Greg, for the benefit of our listeners, I believe that we're going to see some skirmishes as a part of this, but I don't know that we can call it World War III, because World War III, it does not compare with what happened in World War II. We call it a world war as such. This will be a focused war. This will be a concentrated war, and it will be headed by Russia and five Islamic nations that will come against the nation of Israel, according to Ezekiel 38 and 39. And that's part of the wars and the rumblings of wars, but that will not be the final cataclysmic event known as the Battle of Armageddon that's recited and talked about in Revelation chapter 16 in particular. But how should Christians respond? What should we do as Christians in the recognition that, number one, this is God's hand, God's work, and God's prophetic text coming about, and yet we see the actors, the players being placed on the scene, and we see that this coming about just as God's word has said it would?
Well, this is an organized effort. You know, we know biblically that we battle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities, spiritual wickedness. We're dealing with something that has been set in motion a very long time ago, and it is a beautiful thing. You know, as a believer, I get excited at this, not at the bloodshed, not at the loss of life, but to see that God's word is real, it's relevant, and it's right today. The fact that we have prophecies that step back in time to the days of Daniel, to the days of Nehemiah, to the day one after another, Ezekiel, you step back in time and you go, these things have been prophesied a long time ago, and some of them just as shortly as 1900 years ago. But in any case, these things were prophesied way back then, and we see them coming to light today. We see them coming to fruition today. That ought to make the believer excited at the relevancy of the Word of God. You have so many people that look at the Bible and talk about how it is unimportant, it's irrelevant, it's an old book. But it's not. It is more real and relevant today than it has ever been in the history of mankind.
Absolutely. And I am so thankful to see God's Word that, as you said, is relevant today just as it was in the day that it was written. And for the Christian, for the child of God, it should be the thing that is the blessed hope that gives us the encouragement and the comfort to understand that God is in control, God is still on the throne, God still controls this whole world. Greg, thank you for joining us in this broadcast today. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us for Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to next time as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.